So our reading tonight is from Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 19, which is found on page 1049 of the Church Bibles. In our reading today, Jesus explains the need for forgiveness to be able to forgive and serve. Then as he heals 10 lepers, his teaching is reinforced. So let's read from Luke 17, starting at verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink'? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Good evening. Debt. Debt is huge in our country. For Australians like you and me, we are under increasing debt pressure. Apparently in Australia now, the debt-to-income ratio is up to about 200%. I don't know about you, but do you feel the weight of debt in your life? Are you cutting back spending in order to cope with debt? And even those of you who are studying, you're racking up a debt all the time, which you'll be forced to pay back faster than ever before. You study on the government's dime, you've got to do the time. You have a master, you are in their debt, you owe them. And sometimes that master is the government, sometimes it's the banks. Maybe your debt is the day-to-day debt we rack up on our credit cards. If you were here for the last couple of weeks, you might remember that Jesus had been saying, you can't serve two masters. We've been seeing that clearly recently in these passages in Luke, that money can be a master, it can enslave us. And the banks know that full well. That's why it's called MasterCard, not servant card. Debts can be a crippling thing. We can feel the weight of it in our lives. It can become almost overwhelming. So what if something like this happened to you?
Men of Morehouse, you are surrounded by a community of people who have helped you arrive at this sacred place and on this sacred day. On behalf of the 8 generations of my family who have been in this country, we're going to put a little fuel in your bus. Now, I've got the alumni over there, and this is a challenge to you, alumni. This is my class, 2019. And my family is making a grant to eliminate their student loans.
Thank you. In the US, average student debt is about $39,000. So this guy just paid off about $40 million in debt just like that, which is why you get this expression on this guy's face. And why all these students feel so liberated. I mean, how would you feel if suddenly someone paid off your debts just like that? Would it be business as usual? Would you go from head in your hands to this? To this? And what would you feel you owed the person who paid off your debts? There's forgiveness of debts in our passage in Luke today. And as we start the passage, Jesus instructs his disciples to forgive others the debt of sin, the sin that they have done against them, not just as a once-off, but over and over and over again. Even if someone does the same thing to you 7 times in one day. 7 times in one day. I tell you, if someone does something wrong to me 7 times in one day, I am not looking like this. I'm looking more like this. I'm totally frustrated, exasperated, angry. And that's because forgiveness is hard. And repeated forgiveness is even harder. Do you have people in your lives you find really hard to forgive? Well, Jesus says we must forgive them. But there's something with forgiveness, something which when we are in the position to forgive someone, when they ask, when they repent, it's actually a bit of a position of power. You have leverage over the person who's asking for forgiveness. I don't know if you noticed in the video, this generous donor actually makes a claim on that class. He says, "This is my class, 2019. Feels some ownership over them now that he has forgiven their debts. We can offer forgiveness, but with strings attached, especially if it's repeated sin or debt. I mean, that's how MasterCard works, isn't it? You have to repay with interest. That's part of what creates this cycle of being enslaved. Forgiveness can make one person the master and the other the servant. And especially if someone comes to you repent and you hold their future or their emotional well-being in your hands, it's like being king over them, master over them. The choice to forgive someone can be a statement about your superiority. You might have cleared the debt, but that other person is always left owing you something. True forgiveness, on the other hand, can't mean staying on the throne and keeping someone in your debt. Jesus is making a case for a different sort of forgiveness, a different sort of relationship, that when we forgive someone, it's not to be their master, but it's to be their servant. True forgiveness means adopting a posture of humility. Forgiveness has to mean stepping down and raising the other person up. Truly clearing their debt to you. And it's as we experience this service, it's there that we come to understand God's love, forgiveness, restoration of us. Jesus' love that drove him to the cross to pay the debt for us, not so that he can be our master, but so that he can serve us in love. Later in Luke, we see this. As he approaches the time of his death, he says, "I am among you as one who serves." Because this is where the cross changes everything. We're going to dig into that a bit more later. But right now, in this moment, as Jesus is talking to these disciples, they are finding this forgiveness really hard because it's a massive ask. It's beyond them. And to be honest, at this point, it probably is. When someone sins against you 7 times in one day, we feel like this, don't we? and it's massively hard to forgive them. And so the disciples felt that. And so they say, increase our faith. We need more faith to be able to forgive like that. But Jesus says, it's not the size of the faith that matters. It's the size of the one you put your faith in. And he gives this strange metaphor, praying a tree to uproot itself and plonk itself in the ocean. I mean, that's not one I've tried to take literally. I haven't gone up to a mulberry tree and say, off you go, take yourself and plonk yourself in the ocean, maybe halfway to Stratty, that'd be nice. That sounds ridiculous, impossible even, as impossible as forgiving someone who sins against you repeatedly. And that's what it's about. In the context, this little metaphor is about this call to forgiveness. The impossibility of it, but the possibility of it with God. The disciples think they need more faith in order to live that sort of humble life where they don't master others, but let go of debts. We need greater faith, they say. But Jesus says, no, you need faith in a greater God. Because if we misread this story of the mustard seed, we can think God is a bit like an old pokey machine. I don't know if you know them. They had these levers on the side you'd crunch down and the mechanical wheels would spin. Back when I was young, yes, that long ago, my uncle had one in his house. And thankfully the machine was open, so I didn't have to put my own money in there. I would just fish out another 20-cent piece and just keep popping them in, ka-chink, ka-chink, and hopefully, eventually, you get the satisfaction of a win, 3 cherries in a row or something like that. I mean, these days, pokies are more about pushing buttons and flashing lights and endless pit for your money. If we want to talk about crippling debt, then get addicted to pokies and things like that. They are toxic, they're a blight on our society, but that's a side point. Back to the mulberry tree. The faith of the size of the mustard seed, this thing isn't a promise that God will be like an old pokey machine with a lever which dishes out guaranteed wins as long as you pull it enough times or pull it in just the right way. Please God. That is not the God we worship. That is not the God we put our faith in. Because that would actually make us the master and God the servant. That's not our God, and that's not the point Jesus is making. This is about who you have your faith in. It's not about the size of your faith, but the size of who you have faith in. God is in control of all things. With faith in God, we can do things that seem impossible, things like forgiving others when they sin against you 7 times in one day. When we feel like this, we can still forgive people. Truly we can, with God's help. To start illustrating this attitude required to do this, Jesus asked his disciples to consider a scenario where one of them is the master. Pretend you're a master, he says, and then there's a servant, and he just does his job. And Jesus asks, should the servant expect to do his job and then come home and sit at the master's table? No, he shouldn't. The master will look after the servant, but he doesn't owe the servant anything more than his due. It's just like we don't earn the place at the table with the master. We're not in the master's good books for doing just what we were meant to do in the first place. The master is not like a pokey machine where you can just pull a lever. He's not in our control. And this is even true of our faith. There's just no way that this mustard seed thing is an encouragement to dream big dreams and God will fulfill them for you. When we put our faith in God, we put him as our master. We don't earn anything from him, and we need to take this posture of humility that we are merely unworthy servants. And then following him, doing his bidding, forgiving others is merely our duty because we first have been forgiven. I don't know about you guys. Maybe you think of God as someone who you're working for to get in his good books. Through your works, you might just pull the lever, you might secure something for yourself, as though he might move trees or even mountains in your life that you choose. But if our works count towards our salvation, it reverses who's the master, who is the servant. It puts us in the position of power to manipulate God, and God will not be manipulated. He is our master. It makes us the master and God the servant, and that is not right. Instead, we need to adopt this attitude, this posture of humility as unworthy servants. And any works we do for God is merely our duty, and we don't get any credit for it. In fact, remember back to the prodigal son a few weeks ago, we saw there the attitude we should have. When we realize how far we fall short of God and of his standard, we need to go before God humbly and say, I am not worthy. I am not worthy to be called your son or your daughter. But here is where we find joy as well. Because God has sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. When we come humbly before him, Jesus is there and he's already taken the punishment for our sins. Even as our master, he took the position of a servant to truly forgive us all. To forgive with no strings attached. So when we humbly throw ourselves at God's feet with this right attitude, he still lifts us up. We don't deserve it, but he does lift us up to take a place as true sons and daughters of God. And unlike the normal masters who treat their servants like they did in this little story in Luke 17, God doesn't forgive and leave us as servants in his household. So just like in that prodigal son's story, he forgives and he restores. He restores us as sons and daughters of God. And we are welcome at the table. We're welcome to the party. There's feasting, there's joy. Oh, what thanks we should show for that. That is an amazing thing. Should we not show great thanks to God for that? Should we not show great thanks to Jesus? And that brings us to this last real life story from this section. Jesus is going somewhere. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And he's entering this contested territory, the border between Galilee and Samaria. Now, if you're not sure, don't know about this, Samaritans were the despised half-blood neighbors to the Jews. Samaritans were considered outcasts by the Jews. And there was deep animosity between Jews and Samaritans in these days. And it's in these borderlands that Jesus meets 10 lepers, 10 diseased, unclean outcasts. And at least one of them is a despised Samaritan, a double outcast. But these lepers recognize Jesus as master, and they cry out to him for help. And Jesus does help. He tells them, go home, go back to Jerusalem, go to the priests, go to the temple, and be in a position to be forgiven and cleansed. And as they show their faith by going, they are healed. These lepers display some faith in a big, big God. And that's what heals them. The temple doesn't heal them. I mean, we've been seeing that over recent weeks, that that's a place where the priests and the Pharisees are excluding all sorts of people. These lepers are not healed because of the temple. They are healed and restored because they've met the new temple on two legs, Jesus. But when they're healed, only one of them comes back. When he was sore, he was healed. And so probably before he got to the temple, he came back to the true temple, Jesus, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet. He joined a bunch of outcasts we're seeing through these passages in Luke to throw themselves at Jesus' feet. And he was a double outcast. He was a Samaritan, a leper and a Samaritan. And this double outcast now has come home to God and has been welcomed to the family. What happened to the others? Well, presumably they're still trotting off to the priests at the temple in Jerusalem. Not running back to the walking, talking temple who just healed them. And it's actually this foreigner who really gets it. This one leper who's come back to Jesus, praising God in all the way. And Jesus tells him that his faith in a big God has made him well. His recognition that Jesus is the master has made him well. It's this small faith in a big God that has cleansed him. Jesus has restored him. And how do you reckon this guy feels? How would he live in response to what's happened to him, to this new life given him by Jesus? He'd be like these students, he'd be so thankful. He would be overwhelmed with thankfulness. And so how do we think he would respond to Jesus' teaching on forgiveness we heard at the start of this passage? He'd say, sign me up. I'm up for that because of what you have done for me. And this is all, it's a small picture of what happens to us. We're Gentile outcasts. We're outcasts from God's table. We are no better than a Samaritan leper. Because we're separated from God, because of what we do, the way we sin, the way we owe God a debt because we fall short of his standards. And we can't pay it back. We have no way to get home to God. We need someone to step into the story to forgive our debt, someone to step in and make us clean. We can't work to earn this. We can't do enough good to put God in our debt. In fact, we are crippled by our debts. Not just financial, but relational debts. All we do wrong, the way we hurt people, the way that we do things that are destructive to those around us, the way that we are rebellious to a God who loves us and made us, that leaves us in debt. It leaves us in debt to each other, but more than that, it leaves us in debt to a great God. And there's no way out by ourselves. And that is why we need faith in a big God to restore us. That's why we need Jesus, this temple on two legs, our priest to wash us clean, to pay our debt. And that is what happened at the cross. That's what he did for us. At the cross, Jesus paid the debt that we could never pay. He died a horrible death and was separated from God. That's what we deserved. But he did it for us because he loved us. It's an act far more generous than forgiving a student loan. Jesus paid it all for us at the cross for us because he truly loves us. Forgiveness, it is at the heart of the cross. It's at the heart of the gospel. In fact, later in Luke, we see these words as Jesus is hanging on the cross. It's talking about the people who have executed him. Father, forgive them. And God will. And those words are also for us. Not because we pull some lever, not because we work hard at pleasing God, but because we are putting our faith in the work of our Master Jesus who died in our place. But didn't just die, he rose to new life. And he pours out his Spirit on us, making us his, but also giving us the capacity not just to have faith in God as some distant person, but to be drawn to him and to live for him. This Spirit that he gives us a new heart that makes faith possible, and it also makes forgiveness of others possible. So can I ask, have you received that forgiveness on offer from Jesus? Have you had all your debts paid off by Jesus? Have you found your way home to God through him? Like I said, this is a much bigger deal than a billionaire paying off all your financial debts. If you put your trust in Jesus as your master, as the person we go to meet God and to be healed, forgiven and restored, then we are cleansed. And we're healed and we're forgiven. We're forgiven by God. So have you taken that step? Are you waiting to take that step? Well, stop waiting. God is waiting for you. Decide to follow Jesus and decide to follow him tonight. Put your faith in him and it will move the mountain of your sin and guilt and shame, and it will restore you to a relationship with a God who made you and loves you. It will bring you home. Truly it will. We'd love you to take that step if you haven't. And if you have, we'd love to talk to you and help you find your way home to God. And what about those of us out here who aren't waiting, who we've already found our home in Jesus? Well, let's join the party. Let's celebrate. Because especially if you've been following Jesus for some time, it's easy to forget how big a deal this forgiveness is. It's amazing. It's truly outstanding. There's nothing greater than what Jesus has done for us. We can forget that. Or sometimes we can be crippled by the sin in our life and we still feel like we've got to work to pay off that debt. Or sometimes we wonder, are we really sure of God's love? Well, wonder no more. It's not hard work. It's not big faith that will settle your debts. It's faith in a big, loving, generous God. So remember that. And then follow the example of the leper. Praise God. Praise God with your voice. Praise God with your life, with your whole self. Keep throwing yourself at Jesus' feet and giving thanks for the bigness of his love for you. Because remember that we were outsiders who are now part of the family of God. We now have the Holy Spirit in us. And that enables us to be a forgiving people. So after all of this, we come full circle. Back to forgiving others who sin against us when we feel like this, exasperated, frustrated, angry. We have people like that in our lives, don't we? Search your heart, brothers and sisters. Search your heart for those people in your life that you find hard to forgive. And when you find them, then let's think about how we can actually forgive them with no strings attached. Truly forgive them like Jesus has forgiven you. Look, they may consistently do wrong to you over and over and over again. But if we truly follow Jesus, we can't stay angry, we can't lash out, and we can't forgive them in a way that has strings attached. We can't forgive them and hold the sin against them still. We can't forgive them in ways that make us the master and them our servant. We must take a leaf out of our Saviour's book and humbly come to others as their servant. We must truly forgive them. Forgive them in ways that totally pushes aside what they have done to us, even if it's repeated. We must forgive each other in a way that serves each other. We should be a generous, forgiving community. I love this church community. I love the people here. God has drawn us together, and it is a special thing to be part of. It's a great community, but it's a human community. And we still fail. We fail each other. We hurt each other. We do wrong to each other. And we need forgiving. That will happen. But what do we do with it when we've had that happen? I mean, I've felt that personally. I have had people fail me and I have failed others. And it hurts both ways. But what do we do with it when that happens? That's what counts. What do we do with it? Well, when others in our church family wrong us, we need to forgive them. We need to maintain relationship. We need to forgive each other. Don't hold each other in our debt as though they're our servant and we're the master. Jesus is our master, and he models what it means to be a servant to all. That is radical love. That is radical forgiveness. That is what we are called to. Brothers and sisters, we can do that because we have a great God who has forgiven us. We should forgive readily and quickly because God does that for us. And we should even do that with people outside the church family. When they repent, when they come to us and ask forgiveness, we should not set ourselves up as their master and they're our servants, but we need to humble ourselves, die to ourselves, pick up our cross and forgive. Forgive our friends, forgive our family. And we don't do this because it's a duty that earns our place at the table, but it's how that we are show that we are part of this great family, this radical family, and show others what God is like by doing that for them. It shows everyone that we follow a servant king who serves us with his forgiveness. He serves us in love. So when we survey this cross, we must learn that this is our way to treat each other. We must follow the way of the cross, follow the way of Jesus. We must love each other when it costs us. We must forgive each other even when it hurts. Because that is a truly redemptive community, and that is an amazing community to be part of. And that's the community I pray we are all part of. It's a glorious forgiving community. Let's pray that we can do that together and follow our forgiving Lord Jesus in all of this. Let's pray together. Lord and God, we just thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for what he has done for us. We thank you that his death on the cross has paved a way for us to be forgiven. Forgiven of a debt that we could never pay off ourselves. Forgiven so that we can have a relationship with you again, Lord. That is a joy. It is a privilege, and we are so thankful. We want to praise you in our whole lives because of that, Lord. And we want to praise you, and we want to follow you in that. We want to do the same. Help us, Lord, to forgive. Help us to forgive when it is hard. Help us to forgive when it hurts, Lord, because that is what you have done for us. Help us be that community, a forgiving, redemptive community that loves each other in radical, forgiving ways, Lord. Help us do that by your Spirit at work in us. And help us do that and help us shine forth your love to the world around us, to those who need to know your forgiveness too. We pray this in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Spirit. Amen.